draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Guys, gals, and guildies, welcome to episode 94 of The Gamesman. This is the show for the week of the 19th of November, 2012. I am Steve Conger, also known as JSS Lifelike, on basically every gaming service imaginable. And guess what? I'm coming to you by myself this week. Kind of lonely. Scott, Dan, and I tried to get together multiple times over the weekend, and I had a pretty busy baby weekend. We had anatomical ultrasound, and everything seems to be progressing as it should and on track. And Guild Wars 2 was an event weekend, which was anything but smooth. You know, that was all on ArenaNet's side, but it was kind of hard for everybody to get together at the same time. So, as luck would have it, the Wii U released on Sunday, and if we had recorded when we normally do, we wouldn't have had a chance to talk about it because it wouldn't have happened at that point. So, Monday, I got a chance to sit down with none other than Shelby Coulter, Mr. Nebula427 from Nintendo Oki, and we just discussed a little bit about the Wii U and some software and you know, just a little conversational thing. So, we'll let you listen in on that right now. All right, so as promised, I'm sitting here with Mr. Nebula427, Shelby Coulter from Nintendo-Oki.com. How are you, sir?
You know, I'm doing all right. How are you, Mr. Lifelike?
I'm pretty good. I got a little new toy.
So I heard. Apparently, it's all about you and, yeah, and us together as one. I don't know.
Yeah.
They should have called it the Super Wii, dang it. I'm still on that. Way better name.
Oh, man. So, yeah, like I alluded to, you know, we had some scheduling conflicts with a bunch of crazy baby stuff for me this past weekend. So I wanted to get something up. And it's actually kind of cool that we waited and, you know, had a chance to talk a little bit about, you know, about the Wii U. And, I mean, it's no secret that I was excited about it leading up to. I don't know about you. Did you have any...
I really didn't decide I was going to get one until like 2 days before when I saw the list of games we were possibly going to get in for review. And I'm like, I don't want to make Micah do all that by himself. I got to get one.
That sounds like a justification.
Yeah, kind of. But honestly, I wasn't. I mean, it was cool. It was a cool idea, but I really wasn't going to jump on the bandwagoner thing. I mean, New Supes U was about the only thing, but I'm like, I can wait 3 or 4 months to play that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing else. I mean, honestly, the only other thing I was really excited about was Ninja Gaiden Razor's Edge, just because you can play as Ayane.
Yeah, the Japanophile comes out.
Yeah, totally, but that's not worth the $400, you know, price of admission.
No, and that's, yeah. I
played Dead or Alive 5.
I dropped close to 5. And
yeah, well, I'm probably going to buy a Vita in a couple days, so.
Oh, no.
I know.
So, what'd you think when you took it out of the box? What do you think of the quality of, like, the build quality? What do you think of the hardware itself?
Okay, well, let me just go through my thought process when I was opening the box. I'm like, okay, which end do I open it on? How about this end? Okay, that's fine. Oh, there's two levels, like the Wii. That's kind of cool. It's got the one and two dots on it. What's this one? Oh my gosh, look at the size of that power brick. And then it just goes downhill from there. But yeah, that power brick is enormous, but it's like, okay, I'm double stacking sensor bars now. I got a sensor bar ticky-tacky to the top of another sensor bar. This is my life. What that says about me as a person.
I just plugged my old one in to the back of the thing, and I still haven't done my Wii transfer yet, which I really want to do. I'm scared, man.
I'm terrified. I mean, I'm not going to do it in the first place, but if I was going to do it, I would be mortified, because if I lose my Brawl save, oh, they would heads would roll.
Well, I mean, the only reason I'm thinking about transferring it over is because I'm thinking about making the Wii a sort of streaming box for the other TV, for her TV.
Right, you know? You got that Wii 2 HD thing or whatever you imported from China.
And I can just run it. Oh, speaking of, you want to hear another funny Chinese story?
Yes, always.
Okay. So, in anticipation of the Wii U, I went onto eBay and bought two of those cheap Chinese Wii Motion Plus knockoffs, right?
Okay.
Two of them shipped for $17. I figured that's not too bad.
17 a piece or 17?
No, 17 total.
That's good. I mean, you get what you pay for, but yeah.
Yeah. So I get them and I'm like, wow, it's here on Saturday. It's here like right before, just in time for Wii U, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I open up the first one and I look at it and I don't know where these were manufactured, where in China, but the interface is totally upside down. So you can't plug it into the Wiimote anyway.
What?
Yeah, so if you flip it over and try to plug it in, the hooks that hook into the end of the Wii remote, the little plastic hooks, don't fit into the right place. They don't line up either. So now I got to go through a support ticket with this guy to try to exchange it out. Oh,
I don't even understand how you messed that up.
I don't know. I mean, it's quality control in China. It's, you know, it is what it is. But so I actually hooked the one up and booted Skyward Sword in the Wii, in the old Wii, and it works fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm kind of excited about that, just to maybe extend the life of the 16 million Wii remotes that I have just laying around here. It's like a landfill, you know?
Yeah. I just bought my fifth one the other day. I picked up a copy of Fling Smash because a Wii Motion Plus was $42 at Toys R Us, like $40 at Walmart. Fling Smash was $25 at Toys R Us. I'm like, okay, yeah. Well.
Yeah.
So that kind of made that decision for me.
Wii Remote Plus. Yeah, that's the way I'm convinced. I mean, the Zelda Wii Remote Plus is the only one, you know, that I have that's
I missed out on that, too. I totally want that gold one with the Hylian symbol on it, but I just picked up Skyward Sword here a while back. I mean, I had Skyward Sword before I had a Motion Plus, so I didn't even have a dongle. I just couldn't even play it.
God, you got to get on that. So the first thing that I noticed, and I know everybody's saying this, is holy fingerprint magnet.
Yeah, the gloss. I mean, didn't they learn with the Onyx DS Lite? I don't know. I guess not. I mean, it looks dang good, but then you touch it. I mean, I'm sitting here right now talking to you, and I'm wiping fingerprints on it while I'm making more. It's
like know.
OCD.
It pains me like to even touch it. Like I have to touch it and play it in a low light area, so I can't see that.
Yeah,
you know, because it's just driving me nuts. But
I'm guessing you got the black one.
Yes. Yeah. The 32 gig. You picked the same one up.
Yeah, I got the same one.
I can't. Okay, so we'll get to that later. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, how do you think the gamepad feels?
I like it. I expected, as most did from the demos, you pick it up and like, man, this is really light. And I had a feeling that cord they had jabbed into it was carrying power. And now that I hold one for real, I see that it's got a little more heft to it because of the battery.
Yeah.
So I think my theory was sound on that one. But, I mean, it's my only problem with it, I think, is on the right side. I can reach the joysticks and the D-pad fine. It seems like A is a little too short to get to from that right joystick for maybe.
Yeah.
But other than that, A, B, X, Y seem to be fine, plus, minus. It seems like there's a really long distance between ZR and LR and then just L and R.
Yeah.
That's a long reach, and if you do it right, you can kind of hit it with maybe the side of it, but you're not hitting the button square. So I don't know. I haven't actually played any games that use those yet. So
well, they are just binary ones and zero buttons. They are just on or off, you know. Which no, I don't know about that. The worst thing for me, I can't stretch with either hand to hit the home button.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
You know, I mean, it's kind of rough. You know, the power button's fine with the right hand. The TV control's fine. But I literally have to, you know, hold it in one hand and move my hand down to the home button when it flashes, because it flashes when you're getting a WeChat call, which I just tried maybe about 25 minutes ago with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of neat. It works.
I tried calling myself on a friend's system while I was at his house, so I don't know. My TV could have turned on. I could have been screaming. I don't know. We made the joke, what if somebody's robbing my house right now, and I come on the TV, hey, quit stealing my toaster.
That'd be funny if they answered like,
hey, what's going on? I got a Wii U. You want to buy it? That's my system.
I know. I just bought it. I'm going to pay for it twice.
I definitely am very – I love the D-pad they got in here. This is a solid, good D-pad.
Yeah, and bigger.
Yeah, bigger finally. The D-pad on a 3DS is a little loose. The D-pad on the GameCube controller was always too tiny. And this is even stiffer and a better D-pad, than I think, than the Classic Controller Pro for the Wii. So –
yeah.
And man, I'm so glad they got rid of the slide pads and actually put analog sticks on here.
And they're clicky.
They do click. I mean, they've got like a matte finish on them, so they, you know, your finger doesn't slide off. They are convex like the PlayStation analog sticks, but
yes.
I seem to be able to grip these a little better. So.
And no, I kind of miss the hex, the hex casing.
You do?
Or octo casing or whatever it is. A little bit. I don't know. I just got so used to it.
Yeah, I suppose so. But it is, I mean, when you're trying to like make minor movements at the end in a racing game or something, they can kind of fight
you. It is superior. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just I'm so used to a Nintendo console with click, 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 yeah, as I rotate it.
I gotcha.
You know. So you, the only game you got was Nintendo Land?
Nintendo Land came with the system, yeah, and then the next day when I got Fling Smash, Toys R Us was doing like a buy one, get one 40% off, all Wii and Wii U software.
Okay.
So I'm like, ah, screw it, I'll pick up New Super Mario U, so I got that too.
Okay. Have you sunk any time into it?
I've played the first probably 5 stages or something like that. I got to Baby Yoshi, threw him off an edge, laughed hysterically, and then I shut it off. So that's about as far as I got.
What do you think of the squirrel suit?
Man, they're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I mean, okay, I get people were screaming for years, where's my Tanuki suit? And then they did Mario 3D Land, like, here's your dang Tanuki suit. So now, okay, here's the Tanuki suit plus or something. I don't know.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, it's kind of neat. I mean, I think New Super Mario Brothers U is exactly what you think it's going to be. But my God, Nintendo art assets in 1080p are freaking gorgeous.
Oh, I know, right? And I was only at 720p because I didn't see the 1080 setting last night. I just found it poking around on a friend's system earlier today. But yeah, oh man, it's 720 look gorgeous. I can't wait to see it in 1080. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm really impressed with the resolution on the screen. I know it's not a high def screen on the controller, but it looks really sharp.
It's pretty crisp. Yeah.
The only beef I have with it, and this is a very nitpicky complaint because I'm comparing it to my HD 1080 iTV. It's not quite as the colors aren't quite as vivid.
Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, if you're not looking at a big TV, you don't really notice that. But I mean, it's really good.
Yeah. It is not bad. I am semi impressed. And before we get into Nintendo Land, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about my favorite part, I think, of the system so far.
Okay, hit me.
Miiverse.
Yeah, it's really cool, isn't it?
I can't believe that Nintendo built themselves a sort of, okay, and it's albeit handcuffed, but an awesome little social network for their machine.
It's like a Facebook without all the stupid crap you don't want, you know?
Yeah, and it completely has a 100% user base of people like you.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff is going up all the time. I mean, I posted something the other night. Within 30 seconds, somebody had yat it, which I guess is basically the like.
It's the Google Plus One type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah. I don't know who's moderating that stuff because that stuff goes up instantly. There wasn't any queue. I did it. It was up 30 seconds later. Somebody had seen it and responded. So yeah. That stuff's going up.
I was going back and forth with this chick that apparently worked at Fifth Cell talking about Scribble Knots. And apparently it was a violation of the terms of Miiverse service. But I sort of reported a bug because I had a hard lock on Scribble Knots, and I told her exactly what I spawned and what order I did it and mm-hmm. where I was, and she said thanks, I'll give it to the team, and they deleted the post after that because obviously they probably don't want people to see that stuff. But
right,
to me, like, I think Miiverse could be an awesome thing like that, but apparently the terms of service, like I say, it's a little handcuffed.
Yeah, I didn't dig through the detail and that kind of stuff. I just hit accept like everyone else. Apparently you read them, so yeah, or at least skimmed it.
I didn't have a choice because whoever the moderator was kept on flagging my profile because I put the gamesman.com in there. So I had to go back and switch that. No links, no nothing like that.
Oh,
so
really?
I had to put in like host of the Gamesman podcast. I put for my strap line in my profile and they finally approved that.
I didn't even dig enough where you could put a profile in there because I probably would have put Nintendo-Oki.com and not even known.
Yeah, so. Don't do that.
Hot tip. All right, good to know.
That could be a pedo site.
So. Maybe.
But here's the thing that kills me about it is, and this could come, you know, at a later date. That Miiverse is set up completely for achievements, some kind of achievement system.
It really does feel, yeah. I'm totally with you on that because, I mean, when you get an achievement or a trophy, depending on your system of choice,
yeah,
you kind of have to dig through somebody's profile and go, like, compare games or look at someone's trophies. But that stuff, I mean, it's like you can just, like, boof one push of a button. It kind of filters it, and you just see what your friends are posting. And that would be an easy way to see, like, oh, such and such got this trophy, and they write a note, like, oh, dang, the second boss was hard or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is that – the games give you the ability to post screenshots, not unlike Steam.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, and I know this is like totally super anal, but I foresee myself like getting the last hit on Bowser and seeing him flipped over and falling into a pool of lava and hitting the home button and going into Miiverse and posting a screenshot as like my accomplishment.
Oh, no, that's a dark path.
I know, but I'm catching myself doing stuff like that.
Yeah, and, you know, I did that a lot when it first came out. I would post in the calendar, like, oh, bought this game today, beat this game today, or just started this.
Yeah.
I only did it for the first few months. I stopped, and I'm like, oh, I guess it deletes it after a year. But that stuff's totally still there. You just have to dig way back to get it.
Yeah, and obviously, I think as suspected, Nintendo Land, Miiverse has community threads set up. Like community timelines for each piece of software that's out there, including Netflix. Which, by the way, have you tried Netflix yet?
I don't have a Netflix subscription. I have never Netflixed.
Okay. So I loaded up an episode of Firefly I was watching yesterday because I'm down that path again for the 56th time.
That is a path I will endorse wholeheartedly. But Firefly is awesome.
So I loaded up. And by pressing up and down on the D-pad, seamless transfer of video back and forth and audio fades out on one and fades into the other and vice versa back and forth as fast as you can press it. No buffering, no nothing.
Between the gamepad and the screen?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Wow.
I was really impressed with how fast and how easily it recognized what TV I was and actually gave me control of my television for like volume-wise and input and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just typed S-O, you know, scrolled down to Sony, clicked it, and I was expecting to have to pick a model or something. It was just like, bam, here it is. It works. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And I was racking, and I feel like an idiot now, stinking mechanical engineer that I am, racking my brains like, man, okay, I can get doing this through an HDMI cable. Let's piggyback on that signal, but how does it do it through a composite cable? And then I was looking at the controller last night going, hey, what's this infrared sensor? Oh, yeah.
You know, like mine, I typed in LG, and like you said, it was the first one come up, and it just worked perfectly. But that's working for me now because I just plugged the Wii U in like directly to the TV. Like I don't have it running through my home theater or anything. And if that's something that can come eventually, oh my God. Like I can't even imagine.
Will it run your system if it was hooked up through the home theater? I mean, I guess it would. It's just sending an infrared signal when you tell it to manufacture the TV.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it should be relatively the same. I mean, I guess it remains to be seen whether you can customize buttons and things like that. Maybe I don't know. So,
but that was really impressive to me. That was a cool little twist. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's definitely very smart on their part. Like, you get this thing in your hand, get you used to having this in your hand all the time. You're going to use the system more. So,
yeah,
smart on them for that. I imagine. Sony and Microsoft, when their next systems will come out, will do the same thing if they haven't already had the idea before this happened. I imagine they were probably all kind of heading this direction anyway, because, I mean, Microsoft is smart glass. You can kind of see the inklings were already there. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. So, Nintendo Land, have you dove in?
I've played about four of the different mini games over at a friend's house here just mere hours ago.
And are they the single player ones, or did you play the multiplayer ones?
A little bit of both. I think we played the Zelda one, which was a single player one taking turns. Played Pikmin, Luigi's Mansion, and Animal Crossing.
Wow. See, I haven't played any of those. I've just played the single player ones so far because I just haven't had, you know, Lisa and I have played some New Super Mario Brothers and some Scribblenauts, but I want to get into, I mean, I'm thinking about having a little Thanksgiving night before Eve thing. You know?
I'm thinking about taking mine home for Thanksgiving like I did my Wii, just like, hey, let's play this. But I only have one Wiimote Plus, but apparently they don't have to be Wiimote Pluses. I don't know. I
sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. That's why I figured, you know, China was the best place to get that stuff. But so the coolest thing I think I found out of all those, the single player ones that I played, was Yoshi's Fruit Cart, man.
Oh, yeah?
Holy crap. I can't believe how much I like it. Like, you, the gist is, you have a starting point and you have an ending point, and the ending point is a door. And the only way to get that door to open is to guide Yoshi along a path to eat all the fruit. So once he eats all the fruit, the door opens.
Okay.
But the key is you have to draw the path on the tablet, on the touchscreen, but you can only see the fruit on the TV. So you have to look at the pattern of the cloth underneath. Like, let's say it's almost like a greenish plaid type of thing. You count over like four boxes, three up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And draw your path and stuff. But then the fruit starts to move and circulate.
Oh, dude. Okay. Yeah.
And then the fruit starts to have little flags in it. 1, 2, 3, 4. And you have to eat it in that order. So it is just this rabbit hole that I started, and I'm like, oh God, I love this.
I'll tell you what sucked me in. We were playing New Soups U. This won't mean much to many Gainesman listeners probably, but you'll know. We did a go around for New Soups U.
Yes.
And I was on the gamepad, so of course I was a jerk and tried to kill everybody. I didn't really realize what I was doing. I mean, yeah, I'm making blocks appear, but I'm hitting the screen, you know, like, why is everyone yelling at me so much? Until I look up, like, blocks are just appearing out of the air, literally. They have no idea where they're going to come from or when.
That's great. That's great.
That's awesome.
I'm so interested in this whole asymmetric gameplay thing. And to me, like, so far, like I said, I with the games that I have, I don't think, and I haven't played the multiplayer stuff in Nintendo Land, but I haven't found the seminal experience that tells me that this is what the next generation is about or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, there are neat sort of practices and things that could be maybe expounded upon, but you know, it seems like there are a few gimmicky things, mm-hmm. but I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like, I know I sound like I'm completely fanboyish, and that's probably for good reason because I kind of am so far. But like, I don't know. It was actually kind of neat where, you know, we were playing Scribblenauts, and she was just playing, and all of her icons and tools and things to do were on the little touchscreen. But all I saw was the final gameplay product up on the TV. So it was kind of cool. I'm just watching it happen. And I guess there is a multiplayer mode where I can control things that she spawns and things like that. But it almost seems like a party game machine.
Well, I mean, and not so much the party game machine thing, but just being, I'd say, taking games to different places. That's always kind of been Nintendo's thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the day of the Nintendo 64, when they were the game in town, and not that they're still not one of the games in town, but, I mean, back then for them it meant, you know, recreating the third-person or first-person adventure or something like that, you know, with Ocarina of Time, or reinventing genre-defining games like Super Metroid and things like that.
Yeah.
And while I still feel things like Mario Galaxy are amazing games that definitely will be standout games for all time, they seem to have kind of here lately, like, okay, well, I will still argue, you know, call me a fanboy if you will, that Nintendo makes the best software of anybody.
Yeah, first party.
Yeah, first party. Yeah. There's a hands down. I mean, you can't argue with, you know, they have some of the greatest franchises ever. But they've definitely kind of moved into the hardware space with like the Wiimote, with like the DS, with the 3DS, with the like balance board, and now the gamepad. They're definitely, and they've always kind of made their weird one-off peripherals, like, oh, you had the DK Bongos, and you had the Game Boy printer and the Game Boy camera and that stuff. And, you know, success of that stuff notwithstanding, you know, they've definitely done well with, ever since they started, I would say almost took a gamble with the DS. I remember thinking, touchscreen on a game system, why would I ever want that? That's stupid. And now I have like two of them, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of not stupid.
And whether or not I have a feeling that some sort of thing like this will be in the next systems for Sony and Microsoft both. I mean, Microsoft already kind of has with Smart Glass.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Sony will have their version. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and do the arguments who did it first, who did it second, or who copied who. It doesn't really matter. But I definitely think that Nintendo is kind of leading the charge with this, not only just because they got it out there first, but I have a feeling that, you know, they can't necessarily compete horsepower-wise with the systems like the 360 and PS3, so they definitely kind of have to do their other thing and continue to profit on their other things. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I like what I'm seeing, and I think maybe I might be a little bit of maybe a victim of my own hype, or, you know, because, okay, so this is me. I always build things up so grandiose, and then nothing can ever live up to my idea of it, right?
Like, right.
I completely understand, you know, like the way that you can use the gamepad, like, what is it, Takamaru's Ninja Castle or whatever that is in Nintendo Land, where you hold the tablets long ways, mm-hmm. and the gyroscope inside replaces the IR function in a similar way that Skyward Sword did, right? And you're literally swiping long ways and you're throwing ninja stars. But the cool thing about it is it's almost like an on-rail shooter. Like, remember Area 51 in the arcades?
Oh yeah.
Like that kind of thing. Like, it takes you along a path and it stops you in like a set environment. And then they pop out of trees, the ninjas and stuff like that. And you have to sling all of your stars at them. Mm. And there are ones that have swords that block them, and then other ones throw bombs at you, and you have to like ninja star the bombs out of the air and stuff like that. So it's a lot like, you know, the old sort of arcade shooters, like situational arcade mm-hmm. shooters, I guess, uh-huh. And things like that. But like in my head, I'm sitting here thinking of like a four player gauntlet, like a local player gauntlet, where one person is actually like the dungeon master, like in a D&D session.
Oh gosh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. And that's what I'm looking at as things that, you know, that's where I would go. Or, you know, like a no brainer would be to have a Mass Effect, and then you have like Mass Effect 3, like Edie, you know, the AI, she says, you know, I've loaded the personnel file onto your data pad, sir. You know, and yeah. you can sit there like an interactive magazine and look at videos and research, you know, people that you've come across and things like that. Like, I'm hoping in 2 to 3 years, that's where we get to.
Yeah, that's the thing. In 2 to 3 years, that's and I definitely see a lot of potential with this gamepad. And we've seen developers have done amazing things with the touchscreen on the DS. They've also done, I mean, it's also been degraded to the glorified map screen as well for some games. So
yeah. Yeah,
it definitely depends on who's going to take advantage of it. And there will be people out there. Retro Studios is the first people in my mind that I'm ready to blow my, you know, brain out of my head with whatever they do with this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, something Metroid. Oh, I'm not even thinking about it. Can't even think about it. The Wii similarly had a lot of potential as well. But I feel that potential couldn't necessarily have been realized just because the Wiimote wasn't as precise as it needed to be to really capitalize on that potential.
Yeah.
Now, we got Wii Motion Plus, but I think that was just too little too late. But I feel that this gamepad has the precision it's needed. It's got the gyroscope. It's got the touchscreen. Yeah, it's not multi-touch. So, okay, maybe that's hindering it a little bit. But there's still a lot of things they can do here. But sadly, there's also the potential that, oh, it's just going to be the glorified inventory screen. So
yeah.
And I have a feeling we'll see a little bit of both.
I will say that I totally had planned on buying Zombie U.
What stopped you?
Well,
I heard somebody gave it like a 2 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, review scores and, you know, embargo deadlines. That embargo deadlines are like a dead giveaway when they're way past the release day, you know, hours past the release time.
Well, it is a Ubisoft launch title. It's like the new Sonic game. Like, oh, it's going to be good this time, right? Like, oh, darn it, I fell for it. I fell for it too. I saw those videos and I don't know. I haven't played the game. It could be great. I honestly don't know. I just heard rumors of review scores coming kind of low, but the preview stuff and everything I saw at E3 look cool. So
yeah, I mean, it does look cool, but the words Red Steel are just being flung around like nothing.
Oh gosh, really? It can't be that bad, can it?
I wouldn't think so. But the thing is, like, that was what I was hyped for, was, you know, lifting your gamepad up to the screen to use it as a scope for a sniper rifle.
Right. Or,
you know, like things like that, like scanning the environment. Like, could you imagine having this gamepad when Metroid Prime came out?
I can't. My head will explode.
So, I don't know. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know? I remember seeing Zombie U on like preview stuff, and I kind of looked into it because it looked interesting. And I remember going, this looks kind of cool. But I always had the feeling in the back of my mind that, you know, a year, 2 years down the road, we were going to look back on Zombie U and go, that's what we were doing with that thing back then. Yeah. Sheesh.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping for a bargain bin, because I think the thing that interests me the most is the setting. Like, we've never been in London. In this present era, you know, in a lot of games. Like, I know Mass Effect 3 did it, but and they still had like telephone booths in the year God knows when.
A buddy of mine picked it up. I'm interested to maybe get my hands on whether, at least talk to him about it, get some firsthand experience from somebody that I know kind of where they're coming from with their background. I mean, I know some people at some sites, but I haven't read any of those reviews, so I have no idea where those numbers are coming from, you know.
Well, it's going to be a red box thing for me, I think, if it indeed makes it there. I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I totally was looking at the review scores, and there was like a 4.5 out of 10, there was a 9 out of 10, there was a 7 out of 10, there was a 6.3 out of 10, and they were just so far all over the place. And I had read nothing but good stuff about Super Scribblenauts, which, by the way, on a huge TV with those art assets is beautiful. Okay. So I panicked and I got Scribblenauts instead. I withdrew my money for Zombie U.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like you can't jump on board, you know, a month down the road or something. They're not. I mean, there's going to be enough copies on the shelf, especially from what we're hearing. But kind of reminds me of Perfect Dark Zero. You know, we got some 9s and it got some 5s too when it came out. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Is there anything else in that launch lineup that's caught your eye or anything?
Well, I'd be lying if I didn't say that was where I thought about playing Assassin's Creed 3.
Okay.
I heard Micah grabbed Sonic Racing.
He picked that up the other day. Yeah, he's a big fan of the first one, too. If you start talking Sega music, he's going to – he just, like, his eyes roll in the back of his head and starts foaming at the mouth. So,
I don't know. There are a few things here and there, but – you know, for the most part, I think I've grabbed what I wanted to grab. I think, you know, like I said, Zombie U and Assassin's Creed 3 with notwithstanding. But I'm pretty impressed. I'd like to check some stuff out on the eShop, but I'm not entirely positive. Like, if there was a sort of seminal experience on there.
Is it even up yet?
I don't even know if you can download the stuff. I mean, there's stuff in the eShop, but I don't know. I mean, I think the whole day yesterday I was getting errors here and there on Miiverse and in the eShop and things like that. So obviously it wasn't perfect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, their worldwide launch, I mean, errors are to be expected. I'm surprised it's doing as well as it is, honestly.
Yeah,
I had some problems downloading updates.
Oh, that's one thing that should not go without being said. The initial update for the system is what they say, like 5 gigs.
It's big. Yeah. I mean, I understand why. It's all the online stuff. Cause that wasn't in any of that wasn't in the box, because they sent these things out to, you know, game reviewers and stuff like that. And they couldn't do any of the Miiverse stuff, any of that online stuff, cause it wasn't in the firmware yet. So that's everything they had. I don't know if they did it purposely because they didn't want people reviewing that stuff before everyone in the world was involved, because definitely that seems like a Nintendo mentality. You know, you have to have everyone there before you can do it.
Yeah.
Or if they're just like, you know, we need every second we can get to work on this net code. I don't know which it was.
Well, I do know that it took slightly longer than one episode of Revolution and one episode of Big Bang Theory. So
I had to restart mine like twice, and it kind of remembered where it was, so I didn't lose all my progress, but I definitely kind of had to babysit it there for a little bit.
Yeah, and I think as soon as I got done with that, which was probably about an hour and 10 minutes, it was just about done, and then it had to apply it and install it. But the cool thing was Nintendo Land needed an update as soon as you put it in, okay?
Yeah.
And the neat thing I liked about that is you can totally download in the background and start the software and play it, and the next time you start the software, it'll apply the update.
Will it? I haven't done that yet on Nintendo, and I haven't actually put it in my system yet, so that's cool. That is really cool.
Yes, it is kind of awesome. That way you don't have to just sit there and wait for it. You can at some point just say, okay, well, let me cut this off, and then when you start it again, it'll say installing update, and then it starts the game.
Nice. Two things I wanted to say before we get away from the eShop stuff. I was really looking forward to Cloudberry Kingdom.
Okay.
By Pony Studios. They're an indie developer. It's basically like infinite generated Mario levels, to think of it, platforming stuff. And it's crazy kind of stuff. I don't know if you've seen any gameplay stuff, but like go to YouTube and type Cloudberry Kingdom. I mean, it can be as easy as just like run to the right till you win, or to like, oh my gosh, how can anybody in their right mind even tell what's going on the screen right now? I'm dead. But that looks pretty cool. And we've been talking to those guys at Pony Studios, and they're pretty cool guys, so that's helping along too. And definitely interested to see what they can do, but that got delayed because I think of the whole hurricane thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of threw a wrench in a lot of people's gears.
Yeah, unfortunately. It was pretty wicked.
Yeah, so hopefully everyone's doing all right. But another thing, man, this system loads a lot.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Which... I kind of figured out why when you like go to the home screen. I'm like, man, why is this taking so long? And the Wii kind of took a while to go to the home screen too. But I kind of realized it when all of a sudden, hey, here's all these Miis, and these aren't just Miis on my system. These are Miis from around the world with people with real messages and stuff like that. So it's generating that stuff every time you go back to that home screen. So that kind of makes sense. It's pinging a lot of servers, pulling a lot of data, but how come when I go to settings, it takes like 5 minutes or something?
I know. Yeah. You know, the other thing, I actually did the Firewalk. I did the Wii U chat call with. He said, man, they got to do something about this 15 to 20 second splash screen when you load a game.
Yeah.
You know, like there's actually a static background. And it was the first time I loaded Nintendo Land. I'm like, okay, what is it doing? Did it freeze? Did it lock up? No,
yeah.
It didn't. You just have to wait for it to load and animate, and then you see the two spotlights come around, and then the curtain opens and the game starts. So,
yeah, I had the same thing with New Super Mario U. It kept holding on that screen. I'm like, okay, this is a cool picture. Did it mess up? What's going on? I sit there and look at it, and I'm pushing buttons like, oh, there it went. And I just kind of figure out that's what it is. But, I mean, you get an initial upfront load, but I haven't really noticed a whole lot of loading after that. So maybe they're loading enough in RAM to kind of streamline it. I don't know. I need to pay more attention.
Quite possibly.
Which, if that's the trade-off, I'm fine with that. I can stare at a high-res art thing for about 20 seconds, so I don't have to worry about loading for the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's fine. A couple of things I wanted to just kind of finish up with was, I went into my kitchen and sat on the inside wall and was playing a little bit. And, Lisa, we were standing there talking. She was packing my lunch and stuff. So we were sitting there kind of cooling out. And I dropped a frame or two just from 8 feet. So it must be what's in that wall.
Yeah, I think it's definitely what's between you and the system, because I can be sitting like at my computer and I can literally see my TV room. Kind of on the other side of two rooms, I have like a big, huge open living room area. Yeah. And it works fine when I'm facing it, but if I turn around and I'm in between the system and the gamepad, it completely loses the signal after a little bit. I can like stand in my bedroom doorway with the fridge in between me and the system, it won't work, but I can be in my bed when it's just the wall, works fine. So
Yeah. I did take it into the front room, though, into the living room from my room into my entertainment room into the living room as we were watching some TV, and it works fine out there. I wasn't dropping any frames. I have it up here with me now, and I was playing a little bit of Donkey Kong Crash Course, and I dropped a frame here or there, but the key is to go about, I don't know, maybe about 7 or 8 feet away from me through the wall into the other room onto the toilet to see if it works. Because if it does that, oh, I can't even tell you.
I was laying. That opens up a whole new book in the etiquette chapter, or a whole new chapter in etiquette book, rather. But
Oh my God.
I was totally in bed last night playing New Super U, going, that's pretty cool. I'm nowhere near my TV. I can do this with my 3DS or my DS, but it's still pretty cool. Or my PSP, which are all sitting right next to me at the time when I said it. But
man. Yeah. And there's it was just pretty cool. Point. Yeah. I'm excited to see. And I think like the bedroom, the bed is like directly above, the Wii U unit. So I'm thinking that might be okay. It seems to be all the electrical wires and stuff inside the walls. And when you get to, you know, there aren't as many in the ceiling and stuff. So
you're going to be regretting buying those heavy duty box springs now for your mattress.
Oh yeah. If that screws it up, I'm going to be pretty mad. Oh, well, hey dude, I appreciate it. You know, like I said, we didn't have a chance to really get a show recorded, and I knew that you were going to make the semi-suspect decision to drop about $400. So
yeah, and more to come, sadly, probably. Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And say hi to everyone over at Nintendo-Oki.com.
I will do. Thank you for the invite. Always a pleasure to join you in the podcasting.
Of course. So that's it. Like I said, we just sat down, and I wanted to get something out for you guys. So you, you know, those of you that didn't have a chance to pick up a Wii U, you can kind of be in on the conversation as well. And those that did, yeah, it's fun to talk about it when the hype train's going on, isn't it? And yeah, I realize that, you know, the segment isn't up to our normal audio quality, but, you know, this was sort of a last minute thing. So once again, thank you very much. And one of my shout outs to Mr. Shelby Coulter from Nintendo-Oki.com. Also VGHub.net. You can find a great wealth of gaming content at VGHub.net. There's something for everybody. So go to VGHub.net and, have a look around. Join a few communities. It's actually basically one big huge community, so take a look. And last but not least, I would like to announce and shout out Jacob Samuel Conger. And you know, we did find out that we are having a boy, and that is the name that we've had picked out for 5+ years. So it's kind of crazy now that the little guy kind of has an identity. And now it just gets more real by the minute. So Lisa and I are overjoyed. So yeah, that's about it. Web for the Week to Come for me is JSSLIFELIKE pretty much everywhere. That is Nintendo Network. That is PSN. That's Xbox Live. That's Steam. That's Skype. That's Twitter. Blah, 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 blah. You can reach Shelby Coulter at Nebula427 just about everywhere, I think. And that's about it. For Facebook, we had a new like this week, Alan Davidson. So thank you very much, Mr. Davidson. We appreciate it. We want more voicemails. You can call the RPG hotline at 412-267-RPG1 or drop us a line at thegamesmanrpg@gmail.com. And our Twitter account is also thegamesmanrpg. We had some new followers this week, Dark_Umar and Edwards4ID, which I would assume is probably Edwards 4th Infantry Division, I think. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You'll have to let us know. You can also listen to our YouTube channel, which this episode will be posted up on. You might be listening to it right now, so who knows. And that is youtube.com/thegamesmanrpg. And we had some new subscribers this week, Crowman1993 and Rob Meyer. So thank you very much. And don't forget, 6 shows left. That's it. We're in the history books, man. We'll be in the books. So that's going to do it. On behalf of Mr. Nebula427, on behalf of myself, and I am lifelike, and this outro is weird, and until next time, we ask, what role will I play, I guess?
not fully satisfied with this podcast, please return any portion short of full refund.
So you can run and tell that, homeboy.